This is Tony Alamo. We're in the book of Numbers. I'm reading through the Bible. And this is chapter 27. I just finished the 31st chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. I've only got three more, and then we'll be in the book of Joshua. I will be, anyway. And this has to do with what is it?
The daughters of Zelophehad.
Okay, well, what it was is every person that is going into the promised land is supposed to have an inheritance, with the exception of the Levites, because the inheritance of the Levites is God, their father. And so they don't get any land, but they're able to, all the people of Israel that have land are supposed to let them have the outskirts of the city, part of the outskirts of the city for their herds to graze in, and the sheep and the herds, flocks and the herds. And so they're wondering, these daughters, if because of the fact that, well, you'll hear the meaning of this, and I'll be explaining it as we're going along. But Lord, we thank and praise you that we, if we continue keeping your commandments, that we have an inheritance in your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. We also thank you, Lord, that you've shown us the way to get there. The Bible is an instruction letter from you, as that how we can receive the blessings instead of the curses. We can either have prosperity or we can have destruction. If we do exactly what you said, there's no way that we cannot prosper. We will definitely prosper. And if we do not do everything that you say, we shall surely be destroyed. Now, Lord, you told us to distribute literature and that we would not be destroyed if we did that. And you also told us that we should be very zealous to get things done in the church, and so that we can get out and get this and defend ourselves and defend the body of Christ, the whole body of Christ, all over the world. And there's a lot of people that have taken 8, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years to do one little project. And Lord, you wanted me to not let the people of this church even lay one finger to these new buildings that the people are putting up over here, to show the people just how not zealous they are. And then to try to get them to go out to distribute literature. They say, well, we're busy doing building this building that they're taking. It's a little house over there on 16th Street. These unsaved men over here have put up two major buildings, that's an addition onto another one. They just did the addition in one day over here. Now they're putting in another addition behind the Big Stop. They put in the fitness center, and then the building that the other half of it, which is for another reason. And then they put in the new church, and then the other half of the building. They put in full slabs, concrete slabs all the way around the building. They did all that in 2 days, where it takes, and they put another slab behind the Big Stop, and now they're starting up with the steel building there tomorrow, and they'll have that done, he said, by the beginning of next week. So we're expanding the kitchen and everything. It's a 103-foot building by 25. The other buildings was 100 by 125, and we just added another 25 feet onto it. And that's all up. And now they're going to go on. They're also putting up other buildings all over. They got a job to do the new high school. And they're putting in a bunch of new franchises. They're over there pouring it out. They're also landscaping our whole property where the boys made it a junkyard. And so they went in and cleaned that up and dressed it out with dozers. They did all that in 1.5 to 2 days. And they're putting in a whole new slab. and streets down and subdividing another area over here. They're doing it very fast. Now, if Christians, if the people of this work were real Christians, they'd do things that quick too, so they could get out on the streets and distribute literature. But they don't want to get it done because they don't want to go out on the streets and distribute literature. It's like pulling teeth to try to get people to distribute literature because so that they won't be destroyed. So that they won't, if they went out, they'd prosper, the Lord says. So we have to be zealous. And there's some people that are so dead that you can see it's like the, on their faces, it's like you're looking into a dead man or woman's face. They're just morbid. They have no personality. They're not vibrant. They have no zeal. And the Lord, I believe, has already spit them out of his mouth. And we had to put a whole family on a bus today to get them out because they were not only unfruitful, but they were tearing the whole church apart. Everywhere you'd put them, they would undermine it. Then they'd call around from on phones to everybody and try to discourage them. So when they got taken out of the way, there's no more discouragement from them. And they get upset when they see these unsaved people coming in and making them look like fools. They run circles around them. Just a handful of men. And I just thank and praise the Lord that he's blessed me with the finances to be able to enhance the work of the Lord. Some of these places they made into garbage dumps. They wouldn't even lift a finger to pick up a piece of paper on the properties. So the Lord has given them the land, but they didn't take care of it. That's why the Lord took the land away from them and their homes away from them before. And now the Lord is going to have me put them out of the church and out into the streets, out of where the Antichrist is, and let them be at the mercy of the persecutors out there. Now they have to go to work in order to just live, support themselves, to pay for their rent, to pay for their utilities, to pay all their bills. And bills accumulate every month. They don't realize that. And you have to put deposits down and all that sort of thing. You got to pay for your own shoes and boots. And incidentally, we just got 2 tractor trailer loads of very good boots. Real good boots. So people that need boots, don't be putting $50 on the list for boots, because we got 2 tractor trailer loads. And I saw samplings of them. They're really heavy-duty, very good leather boots. And we've got every size there is. And so people that need work boots, just go see Tommy. He's got 2 tractor trailer loads of them. And they're selling like hotcakes on a frosty morn. So, if I call and want you to go out on witnessing cruise, if there's building or repairs that you're doing, you better get them done very fast, because if you don't, I'm going to hire unsaved electricians, plumbers, and other people, frame-up people, to do the work, because the Lord has blessed me with enough finances to do that. He's blessed this church with enough finances to do that. And you can just go down the road and try to sponge off of somebody else. If you don't believe me that I say that the Lord says he'll destroy you if you don't get the literature out, then you have to leave. Because I'm not going to be destroyed. If I have to, I'll hire people to distribute the literature. I hired people. I want you people to remember that I was the record giant of the earth. I'm the one that started the 20 original hits, and I made millions of dollars at that. And I was just one person. I didn't have a big staff. I hired a big staff. A distribution company in Brooklyn, New York. They were the same kind of people that would, you could take a box of cornflakes and send in the box top with a quarter and get a whistle or whatever they were letting you have. or pictures of baseball, football stars, and so on. I was so big that I had to hire a group that big to get my records out. Now, you people are so small-minded, and you don't believe the people's report. And so I don't expect you to believe that, because some of you are non-achievers. You never achieved anything in your life, and you're going to try to make sure that nobody in this church achieves anything. But you better get in step, because, you know, if I hire people, I don't have to support, I don't have to pay their utilities, I don't have to have houses. I can sell those houses and keep the money and put the gospel out and hire unsaved people. I don't have to have a lot of houses to keep repairing them. I'm trying to repair your stinking houses and buying air conditionings for you and everything else and paying all your bills. Now, if you're not going to work, not only am I supporting you, but you're not supposed to eat. And you'll find that out when you go out into the world. If you don't work, you're not going to eat. Now, if you get put out, don't expect the Lord to support you out there. You're put out because of the fact you didn't support the work. And then when I sent people out to witness and testify in the past, and you people that are unsaved out there, and you're hearing these tapes, I want you to know that everybody that is in this, they tried to make it look, the government tried to make it look that everybody just listens to everything I say, and I've got them like mind-controlled robots. What they were doing was throwing tracks in garbage cans. Unsaved people would call over here and say, "Sir, now, you know, we don't really believe in God or anything, but these people, you're paying them good money. And I guess you are, because we see them around in new vans and all that. And we see them eating at good restaurants, and we see them at good hotels. And what they're doing is taking your literature and dumping them in garbage cans. And they're leaving big stacks of them on the street, and they're flying all over the place. And then they call in huge track counts." And some people, lots of people would call and say they left 10 tracks on their car, or they would go by apartment houses and shove 10 tracks in front of each door, or 20 tracks. So they didn't care anything about people's souls. Actually, they were doing things that were obnoxious to people, and were making them think that I was the sucker for having them in the church. And I would be if I kept you. If I ever hear of this again, you will not be here, because you're not trying to save the Lord's money or win souls. And therefore, you're not going to inherit the land. There's no inheritance for you, because you're doing things that are going to destroy you. Now, obviously, you're not going to destroy me, because God keeps blessing me. And the money that comes in, I keep enhancing the work of the Lord. I'm opening up new churches. I am enhancing the properties and beautifying them, even though you're trying to jack them up. And those of you that jack them up, I'm going to have the neighborhood scoured. And if you have made a city dump out of your place, you are going to be removed. And I'm going to have people checking your houses. And if your places are kept unclean, you have to leave. I'm under no commandment to keep a bunch of people here that don't care about being a good testimony and about not caring whether your place looks like a pigsty. I like the Davises. They have to leave. It's just that simple. People are moving in that really want to serve the Lord. And people that are intimidating people in the church and calling them names and name-calling after all these messages, you have to leave too. We have somebody in the print shop that called us today. Who was that?
Jay Porter.
Jay Porter. Jay Porter called and brought a report on who?
Wally Cameron,
and somebody else, the one that used to ride around with Velasquez, Logan Perez, that they're name calling him and degrading him and so on. Logan Perez, if this is true, you have to leave. And same thing with the other one, the other person, not brother. Wally Cameron and Logan Perez, if this is true, you might as well just pack your bags up and leave. because you're not receiving the messages that the Lord is giving through me, and you have to leave. I'm not going to allow people to stay in this church to name-call people and degrade them. I've never heard any real bad reports on Jay Porter at all. He's a good brother. And he's the one that prints the tracks. I guess you'd like to ruin and cause people in the printing press room to leave the church. No, I can tell you that you'll be just like the Davis family. You'll be asked to leave. There's nothing else I can do. Because God would really get me if I kept people like you around. Now, as it was, when I put the Davises out, the Lord sent in a large amount of money today, right after I did that. Because the Lord loves it when I put people out that are causing, that are undermining the work. God's work. I'm putting everybody in this church on notice. I've had enough patience with you. You're living in homes, and Brian Broderick called up and stated, well, this house, after 6.5, 7 to 10 years, is not done yet. We still have to put a banister up there in the back porch. I said, well, doing it in about an hour, okay? Because if you don't, I'm going to believe that you're just dragging along. So I want to send you out with tracks. And I want to send a bunch of you other people out with tracks. I want to do it right away because the devil is gaining momentum, will gain momentum in this world if you don't get to doing what the Lord says. Okay, I hope you understand that. Now, this has to do with inheriting the promised land. And, of course, this is symbolic of the kingdom of heaven. And so, Father God, we ask that you bless Numbers 27 and that you let people that have spiritual ears, let them hear what the Spirit saith unto the people, the different churches. Each one of us is a church, if you're of the Lord, and if you're not. You know, Father, I know that you, Jesus, had one devil in 12. And so we have a lot more than 12 people in our church. We have hundreds of them. And so if there's one in every 12, Lord, I pray that you reveal them to me so I can ask them to get out of here and do what they want to do quickly, because I want the work of the Lord to go on, and I don't want to be destroyed, and I don't want the people of the Lord to be destroyed. And anyone that doesn't want to pitch in and get the word, your word out into the world, I want them to leave. I don't want to support them. I don't want you to support them anymore, Lord. And I know it's you that's supporting us. Those of us that are doing your will, you're blessing us, and these people are just sitting among us, eating your food and drinking your water and the different beverages you have here, and living off the fat of the people's blessings in this church. And I know, Lord, that we would be blessed even more if we will be diligent in seeking them out, measuring them up with the word of the Lord, and getting them out. Now, people that don't receive these messages and execute the judgment of them, you have to leave. We'll just have to ask you to leave. Now, Lord, we ask that you teach this lesson to the non-achievers in this gathering place here. And they don't pray for the fear of the Lord. But Lord, show me who they are, and I'll do with them just as you told me to do with the Davises and many other people. You've told me to put hundreds of people out of this church. In the Navy, we had to be perfect. We were a 4-0 company, a meatball company, what they called it. We had the meatball flag, which is a perfect company. And if we can be perfect in the Navy, we can sure be perfect for the Lord by the Spirit living in us. If there's no Spirit in us, it's obvious, Lord, because we see those that don't do your will. They're just living according to their own ways, and I vow, Lord, that I'm not going to keep them. I'm going to ask them to leave. Lord, so anoint this chapter and teach us, Holy Spirit, as you promised that you would. You teach us all things in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, chapter 27, Numbers, and verse 1.
The daughters of Zelophehad, King James Version, verse 1. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahla, Noah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah. Verse 2. And they stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes and all the congregation, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Verse 3, Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons.
So he was one of the old-timers that died, and he didn't have a son. All he had was daughters. Then what?
Verse 4. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family? Because he hath no son. Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. Verse 5. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord.
This was a cause that was too deep for Moses, so he had to ask the Lord advice. A lot of people, they don't know what the answer are, but they never go to the Lord in prayer. And so you're guilty. You're not part of the communion. Now the Lord says, commune always. In other words, pray always. That means commune always. And Paul says, commune without ceasing. In other words, pray without ceasing. And Jesus said, do this as oft as you will. Communicate with me. Have communion with me as oft as you will. And the Lord's will is that you communicate without ceasing and communicate always. Amen?
Amen?
So if that's not your will, then you're not one with the Father. So that means to pray always. It means exactly that. Communicate. Communicate. Have communion. Let the Lord commune to you and you commune to Him. Then what?
Verse 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
See, the Lord's communicating with Moses. Then say, what did the Lord say?
Verse 7, The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. Translation, verse 1 through 7. The daughters of Zelophehad. One day a petition was presented by the daughters of Zelophehad, Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Their father Zelophehad was the son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph. Verse 2. These women went and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the tribal leaders, and the entire community at the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 3. Quote, Our father died in the wilderness without leaving any sons, unquote, they said. Quote, But he was not among Korah's followers who rebelled against the Lord. He died because of his own sin. Verse 4. Why should the name of our father disappear just because he had no sons? Give us property along with the rest of our relatives, unquote.
A lot of people think that the name should be blotted out because of the sin of the father. But the Lord said, no, still let these daughters have an inheritance. Then what else?
Verse 5. So Moses brought their case before the Lord. Verse 6. And the Lord replied to Moses, verse 7, quote, The daughters of Zelophehad are right.
In other words, like you would say, nope, their dad sinned and there is no inheritance anymore. But Moses wouldn't make a judgment like that on his own. What he did is he sought the Lord, and the Lord says, they're right. Okay?
Yes.
A lot of people say, well, that person sinned. We're not going to be nice to them. Well, then how are you ever going to pull them out of their sin if you don't be nice? If they continue being bad and not following what the Lord says, well, then they, of course, they have to be sent down the road. I have to measure them and If they don't measure up and the Lord says, get them out, then I commune with the Lord and I hear him. And he hears me. Okay, then what?
You must give them an inheritance of land along with their father's relatives. Assign them the property that would have been given to their father. King James Version, verse 8. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. Verse 9. And if he have no daughter, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. Verse 10. And if he have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. Verse 11. And if his father have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his kinsman that is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it. And it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this Mount Abarim, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. Verse 13. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. Verse 14. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is, the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. Verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, verse 16, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Verse 17, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Translation, verse 8 through 17. Moreover, announce this to the people of Israel, quote, if a man dies and has no sons, then give his inheritance to his daughters. Verse 9. And if he has no daughters, turn his inheritance over to his brothers. Verse 10.
This is like the kingdom of heaven. If you don't, if your father doesn't live, your mother doesn't live, or your brother, you don't have any brethren or anything, but if you're saved, you get to get into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Just because you're a woman doesn't keep you out. Amen?
Amen.
In the body of Christ, there's no male or female. There's no Greek, there's no Jew. It's all, you become one in Christ Jesus. You all become one in the tribe, the line of the tribe of Judah, in the tribe of Judah. You're in a new, you're a completely new community, a whole new nationality, a nation of priests, spiritual people, and spiritual kings. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 10. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. Verse 11. But if his father has no brothers, pass on his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan. The Israelites must observe this as a general legal requirement, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Unquote. Joshua chosen to lead Israel. Verse 12. One day the Lord said to Moses, quote, climb to the top of the mountains east of the river and look out over the land I have given the people of Israel. Verse 13.
It doesn't matter in the New Testament. It is an old flesh thing. It doesn't make any difference if you belong to this church and that church or this tribe or that tribe. If you're not born of the Spirit, and keeping the Lord, all the Lord's commandments. If you're not keeping His commandments, you're not going to get into the land. It's all a spiritual thing now. It's all new in the new covenant. You must walk in the Spirit. He that is spiritual is spiritual. He that is carnal of the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
So then what?
After you have seen it, you will die as Aaron your brother did. Verse 14. For you both rebelled against my instructions in the wilderness of Zin. When the people of Israel rebelled, you failed to demonstrate my holiness to them at the waters. Unquote. bracket, these are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, end bracket. Verse 15. Then Moses said to the Lord, verse 16, quote, O Lord, the God of the spirits of all living things, please appoint a new leader for the community. Verse 17. Give them someone who will lead them into battle, so the people of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd.
See, Moses didn't say, oh God, please don't kill me. Let me go into the Holy Land. What he did is he was more concerned about the people of Israel. He said, get a spiritual person, Lord, to take over my place. Amen?
Amen.
That the people will be, have a good leader. So he was faithful to the Lord even after he knew that he had to die and wouldn't be able to go into the Holy Land. But you, the average person would just say, oh God, please don't kill me. Let me go in. Then what?
King James Version, verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. Verse 19. And set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Verse 20. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient.
See, this is the pre-appointment of him. This really doesn't actually occur until around the 31st chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. But this right here is the very beginning where the Lord appointed Joshua. Keep going.
Verse 21. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim and before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Translation, verse 18 through 21. The Lord replied, quote, take Joshua, or Yahshua, son of Nun, who has the Spirit in him, and lay your hands on him. Verse 19. Present him to Eleazar the priest before the whole community, and publicly commission him with the responsibility of leading the people.
How does that mean that he has the Spirit in him? Well, the words of God are Spirit in their life, and so he had the Word of God in him. Amen?
Amen.
He really believed God. He believed those scriptures, the words of the Lord. Then what?
Verse 20. Transfer your authority to him, so the whole community of Israel will obey him. Verse 21. When direction from the Lord is needed, Joshua, or Yeshua, will stand before Eleazar the priest, who will determine the Lord's will by means of sacred lots. This is how Joshua, Yeshua, and the rest of the community of Israel will discover what they should do. Unquote. King James Version, verse 22. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation. Verse 23. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Translation, verse 22 and 23. So Moses did as the Lord commanded, and presented Yeshua, or Joshua, to Eleazar the priest and the whole community. Verse 23. Moses laid his hands on him and commissioned him to his responsibilities, just as the Lord had commanded through Moses.
All right, that was the last verse in chapter 27, and now we have some commentary.
27, verse 1 through 23. This chapter continues the preparation of the new generation for the inheritance of the land. The problem of a lack of male heirs is addressed in verses 1 through 12, and a precedence for rights of inheritance is established. The preparation of Yeshua, or Joshua, to be the next leader of the new generation is the focus of verses 12 through 23. 27, verse 3, quote, he died in his own sin, unquote. The intention is to underline that their father was no worse than others of the Exodus generation and did not deserve an unfair loss of identity among the clans of Israel. 27, verse 9 through 11.
Right, they all got inheritances, right?
Right.
They were all sinners. Okay, then what else?
The common principle in all these cases is that of the next closest relatives receiving one's inheritance.
But that doesn't mean that the Lord condones sin. It's just he did that because he made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they were going to inherit the land, and that eventually there was going to be a seed, a root of Jesse from the house of David, a line from the tribe of Judah that would bless all the nations, and so he had to keep this line intact. So he killed all the disobedient ones, but kept a remnant of them to go into the promised land, the young ones that had not sinned or murmured or complained, all right? And so they got the inheritance because they hadn't done these evil things. They hadn't murmured and complained. And they learned the lesson from watching that what their elders had done. And they learned what not to do by watching them, by their example. So that doesn't show that God condones sin at all. All right, then what?
Daughters are the only females who are mentioned in the succession. The intent is to ensure that the land does not leave the domain of the clan. 27 verse 12. Mount Abarim is the area in which Nebo is found. See chapter 33 verse 47. Quote, and they removed from Almon Diblathaim and pitched in the mountains of Abarim before Nebo. Unquote. This, then, is an alternative way of describing Mount Nebo, as in Deuteronomy 34, where the command given here, verses 12 through 14, is obeyed. 27 verse 16, quote, the God of the spirits of all flesh, unquote. Go to chapter 16, verse 22. Quote, and they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Unquote. 27 verse 18. Quote, a man in whom is the Spirit, unquote, refers back to chapter 11, where Joshua was present when the Spirit was imparted to the leaders, and they prophesied. It speaks of possessing discriminate wisdom and insight, not the full Godhead.
Right, the full Godhead, that Spirit, enters into people when Christ enters into you at salvation. Okay, it's a whole different thing. And this didn't happen until the New Testament after the Lord was crucified. Then afterwards, he blew his breath into the nostrils of his disciples and said, be filled with the Spirit. And they were, but he stated after that, that there's another spirit that has to be given unto them. He said for them to tarry in Jerusalem and to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because ye shall have power. They were not endued with power until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then there's another spirit that's going to happen with the two witnesses. The Lord says they're obviously witnesses. They're also filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and they also have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they also have the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, the fear of the Lord, and all these other spirits. But they're going to have, he says, and then I'll give power, a very supernatural dose, extra power, unto my two witnesses. Amen?
Amen.
So that's even more. So when it says that they have the spirit, that means, one of the seven spirits, not the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of the Godhead in them. Okay, that happened with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then happened in the New Testament. So we have no excuse. We have far much more than they had, and we're far more much more responsible than they were. You say, well, they saw the Spirit, the Lord in a cloud, and in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. But we have the Lord in us. Amen?
Amen.
And we have the Old and New Testament. Okay, then what?
27, verse 19. Inaugurate means literally, quote, command, unquote, or give a charge to Joshua. 27, verse 20, quote, some of your authority, unquote. The phrase underlines the uniqueness of Moses as leader. Joshua, on the other hand, will share leadership with Eleazar, as stated in verse 21.
Yeah, he didn't give, he says, I'm going to give all of Moses' spirit to authority. He says, I'm going to give you some of his spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So that doesn't mean that they're like the Fumalaka Chungus. Amen?
Amen.
The big shot. No, they're just a portion of that. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The distinction between religious and military leaders is made here for the first time. 27 verse 12 through 23. I'm reiterating here. The torch of Israel's leadership was passed from Moses to Yahshua, Joshua. Moses was able to view the land of Canaan, chapter 27 verse 12 through 14, but was not allowed to enter it because of his earlier failure. Rather than being self-centered and overcome with disappointment, Moses' greatest concern was still for his people, the people of God, that is. The attitude reflected in his words reveal his godly character. Quote, please appoint a new leader for the community. Give them someone who will lead them into battle, so the people of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd. Unquote. Moses was content with God's plan for him. Like Moses.
Now, he's content to die. He's 120 years old. Yeah, up there in years. He'd been 40 years in the ministry. He'd been through wars, battles. He'd been taught communing with the Lord. And he'd been with him 40 days, 40 nights, on two occasions without food and water. And he knew that he had gone into the Holy Land and going to have to battle all these people. And the Lord says, you have to die. And he, I'm sure, was as much as willing to go to be with the Lord as Paul was. Amen?
Amen.
He said, it's better to be with the Lord, but nevertheless, you know, whatever the Lord wants, if it's expedient for me to be here with you people, then I'll be here. But I'm not, well, Lord, you're taking me out, but, you know, let there be a leader now that will lead people, will not be afraid, that will be bold and very courageous. All right? And lead them into battle against these people. Somebody that'll be faithful and true to you, and that will be, that will love the people of the Lord as I do. I'm not at all concerned about going out to meet you, Lord. This is great. That was the thing that got me the most, was when the Lord said I couldn't go. That was, I'm sure his heart was overjoyed. I'm going to be with the Lord, and I won't have to go in there to battle and cut people's heads off and all this stuff. This is great. Praise the Lord. All right, then what?
Like Moses, we must learn to be content with God's plan for us, even when it brings us temporary disappointment.
Oh, I don't believe the Lord that Moses was disappointed. But a lot of people are disappointed when they... I think Joshua was probably more disappointed because he has to go in there and continue living. Amen?
Amen.
That would be... That was my disappointment, is that I had to continue living here in this world. I want to be with the Lord. Okay, then what?
God always desires what's best for us.
Amen.
A lot of people want to be in Moses' boots and to do the things that Moses was told to do. In this particular case, God told Moses that he had to die. That's when I believe most people would back off.
Yeah, but not me. The Lord said I had to die and be with him. Praise the Lord. Let it be tonight, Lord. Let it be now, this second. I will be the most happy person in this whole world. So that's the last of chapter 27 of Numbers. And we'll be doing chapter 28 tomorrow, God willing. Think about all this. You know, we've been given promise of the an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven, the promised land. Amen?
Amen.
Or the land of promise. And so let's keep that on our minds, meditate on it day and night, so that we can be one more day closer to glory. And after all, that's what we're living for, is to enter the kingdom of heaven. If you think about anything else other than that, if you have in no vision of that, then you'll perish. Amen?
Amen?
Keep the kingdom of heaven on your mind. The land of promise. These people forgot all about that. And when they got there, they didn't... They all fell away. So, without the vision, the people perish. Keep heaven on your mind. Meditate on it. It's beautiful. And people are going to be so sad when they don't get to go there. But of course, hopefully everyone that hears this tape will be there. The Lord wants to see, I want to see you there too. Until then, until chapter 28, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.